The Daily Office Reading for Friday
from Proper 17 after Pentecost.
The psalm selected for today is Psalm 31. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Free me from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth. I hate those who cling to worthless idols. I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. You have not handed me over to the enemy, but have set my feet in a spacious place. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and my body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction, and my bones grow weak. Because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbors. I am a dread to my friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me. I am forgotten by them as though I were dead. I have become like broken pottery. For I hear the slander of many. There is terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from my enemies and from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Let me not be put to shame, O Lord, for I have cried out to you. But let the wicked be put to shame and lie silent in the grave. Let their lying lips be silenced, for with pride and contempt they speak arrogantly against the righteous. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you. In the shelter of your presence you hide them from the intrigues of men. In your dwelling you keep them safe from accusing tongues. Praise be to the Lord, for he showed his wonderful love to me when I was in a besieged city. In my alarm I said, I am cut off from your sight. Yet you heard my cry for mercy when I called to you for help. Love the Lord, all his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but the proud he pays back in full. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. The Old Testament selection from today is from the book of Job. If you've been following along with Job, we see he continues to struggle with the enigma of his suffering, and he can only conclude that God is his enemy. Job's true enemy, of course, is the accuser. But Job here continues to attribute his suffering to God. In Job's mind, God is at war with him. We also hear that Job has been rejected by his own family and friends. His children are gone, his wife, brothers, and friends and servants all find him repulsive. Little boys scorn him. An intolerable insult in a patriarchal society where one's elders were to be honored and respected. However, by the end of the reading, and probably the best known and most loved passage in the book of Job, he reaches a high point in his own understanding of his own situation and of his relationship to God. He speaks a staunch confession of faith. A confession of faith that has been appropriated by generations of Christians. Job expresses confidence that ultimately God will vindicate his faithful servants in the face of all false accusations. In the end, he will be defended and vindicated. He is certain that his death is not the end of existence, and that someday he will stand in the presence of his Redeemer and see him with his own eyes. Here is the reading. Job replies, "How long will you torment me and crush me with words? 10 times now you have reproached me. Shamelessly you attack me. If it is true that I have gone astray, my error remains my concern alone. If indeed you would exalt yourselves above me and use my humiliation against me, then know that God has wronged me and drawn his net around me. Though I cry, I've been wronged, I get no response. Though I call for help, there is no justice. My kinsmen have gone away. My friends have forgotten me. My guests and my maidservants count me as a stranger. They look upon me as an alien. I summon my servant, but he does not answer, though I beg him with my own mouth. My breath is offensive to my wife. I am loathsome to my own brothers. Even the little boys scorn me. When I appear, they ridicule me. All my intimate friends detest me. Those I love have turned against me. I am nothing but skin and bones. I have escaped with only the skin of my teeth. Have pity on me, my friends, have pity, for the hand of God has struck me. Why do you pursue me as God does? Will you never get enough of my flesh? Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead, or engraved in rock forever. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. The Word of the Lord. The Gospel appointed for today comes from the Gospel of John. As we've been reading, Jesus has performed many miracles, and he has performed this kind of miracle more than any other, and that is giving sight to the blind. This was predicted as a messianic activity, and these miracles were additional evidence that Jesus was the Messiah. Ironically, the Pharisees' claim to sight showed their complete unawareness of their spiritual blindness and need, and though they claimed to have sight, their actions were evidence of their blindness. Here we join Jesus after he has just made mud and opened a blind man's eyes on the Sabbath. The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they ask. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see?" "We know he is our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him, he is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God," they said. "We know this man is a sinner."